Good to see you tonight. Glad you're here in the house. Glad you're all doing well. Pray God bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Well, let's jump into the Word tonight. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to be looking at different passages of Scripture tonight. The last several messages I've been giving on, you know, Sundays and Wednesdays, it seems like the Lord gives me a couple days to work on them. They've been coming out of prayer, and this one, again, is another one that came out of prayer. Actually, it came out of prayer Monday. Monday, we were in prayer at Desert Springs for the noontime prayer, and if you were there, you remember that the microphone started squealing. I mean, it just started squealing, and Bill had to come down and go up there and turn it off and try to reset it. But as soon as it started squealing, the word interference came to my mind. I thought, okay, Lord. Now, when a microphone squeals, basically what happens is you have your mic, and it gets a feed, okay, and you have it connected to your soundboard. Let's just call this a soundboard. And then there's an amplifier, and then let's say it comes out to the speakers, okay? What's happening with the microphone is that the microphone is being controlled by the mixer board. The amplifier amplifies it, brings it out to the speakers. So your mixer board will control the volume of the speakers. When you get this loud pitch, it's also called feedback. What happens is the sound that's coming out of your speaker comes back in to your microphone. And they call it a closed loop or a continuous loop. When that happens, you're getting feedback because now your microphone is picking it up and your amplifier is trying to amp what's already amped. And so it gets a continuous loop and it hits that loud squeal. When I heard that, I just heard the Lord speak to me and say, interference. So I thought, okay, Lord, you're going to have to talk to me about this. So I've been studying this, you know, and my notes are crazy. I mean, I don't even know if I can read my own notes because I'm just writing down what I see the Lord showing me. But I believe there's a message here for us. Again, it's a way to introduce something spiritual by using something natural. Okay? It's a metaphor. But I believe the Lord's really shown me some things about this just in a way to be able to show you something about sound waves and spiritual interference. Okay? So that's kind of what we're looking at. But first, let's just take a look at a few scriptures. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're just going to take a look at a few scriptures. Couple or so, and then we're going to look into this. 1 Peter 1, verses 22 and 23, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. How many of you have done that? Have you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren? He says, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Okay? So he's talking about a purification, our souls being purified and obeying the truth through the Spirit. So there must be a cleansing process in our lives. There must be a cleansing process in our lives, and we obey the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. How many of you love the brethren? Okay? Now, I want you to think about this as spiritual sound waves, okay? A sound wave, you know what a sound wave will look like this, right? So, think about this as sound waves that we are bringing out, okay? Love, sincerely love one another from a pure heart. We ought to be producing a sound wave that everyone can receive, and we ought to be on the same sound wavelength. We ought to be matching sound wavelengths, and there's a reason for that. But we ought to be on the same page, right? Okay, we ought to be producing a similar sound with each other, and that's important, okay? So we're pure, our souls are purified, we're born again of incorruptible seed, and we lay aside all things, okay? We just lay aside things, okay? Get them out of our lives. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verses 14. We're going to start at 14. We'll go down a ways. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." And then he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what is he saying? These are things we ought to be doing. These are, if you want to put it, these are the spiritual sound waves we ought to be making. Okay, we ought to be making these spiritual sound waves coming from us. Okay, we're to warn the unruly, we're to comfort the faint-hearted, we're to uphold the weak, be patient with all. These are sound waves. How many of you are patient with others? Consider that a spiritual sound wave that you need to be making with one another. Okay, you ought to be emanating this from one another. It'll make sense to you in a little bit, I hope. It says, "See that no one renders evil for evil." So watch the sound waves you're producing from your life. Watch this because, again, we're going to talk about interference, okay? But there's good and bad interference, and we'll talk about that. Always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And then he says, rejoice always. Rejoicing is a sound wave. When you were singing praise just a moment ago, when we opened the service, you were producing sound waves with your praise. We're to be doing that. How many of you know you can't produce a sound wave if you just think about the song in your mind? That's why God has given you a voice. That's why he's given you a tongue, so that you can use it to produce sound waves. And here it tells us to rejoice always. And then it says, pray without ceasing. Again, prayer is to be a sound wave, not just a thought in your mind. How many of you can pray aloud? You need to practice it, because when you do, you're emanating, you're releasing a sound wave into the atmosphere, a spiritual sound wave, and there's reason for that. There's reason for producing these sound waves, okay? So he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. How many of you are thankful? Consider your thankfulness a sound wave. Have your thankful sound waves hit heaven recently? Because heaven wants to hear the sound waves. Heaven wants to hear your praise and your thankfulness rising up to heaven. God wants to hear it. And so we ought to be thankful. We ought to be producing sound waves. Okay? And now I'm talking about spiritual sound waves, okay? In everything, we're to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then he says, don't quench the spirit. That's powerful when you think about sound waves. Okay, we'll take a look at this. You know, it says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecy. Prophecies are verbal, are they not? Yes. Prophecies emanate sound waves. We're not to despise the sound waves that God emanates through his prophets or through those that have the gift of prophecy or someone who receives a prophetic word. We're not to despise it. Because God is sending these spiritual sound waves out that we might receive it. Okay? Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. How many of you know that not everything you hear in a sound wave is good for you? How many of you know that? He said, test all things. When you hear these sound waves coming into you and they come against your spirit, you need to get away from it. You need to cut it off. You need to put an end to it. So you test all things. Test the sound waves that are coming towards you, okay? Test all things. Hold fast to what is good, and then abstain from every form of evil. Okay, here's a couple passages, okay, using sound waves to illustrate spiritual interference. Okay, and that's the word, like I said, that I feel like the Lord gave me to talk about this, or at least to study it out and see what the Lord was saying to me about this. Okay, now give me some examples of spiritual interferences. What are some spiritual interferences that we deal with on a daily basis?
Family.
Okay. Television.
Phone calls.
Bad thoughts.
Work.
So what's happening in your daily life is you're getting all these spiritual sound waves coming at you. And so it looks like this. This is your day. Now let me ask you, where is God in that? Why can we not hear God? Why do we say, I don't hear God speak to me? Why do we say, I pray, but I don't hear him talk to me? Because we have the things we talked about, you know, our, you know, bad thoughts or habits, and we have television going, and we have our phones that are ringing off the hook, and we have all these things. We have family pulling at us. We have our jobs that are straining us. We have so many things that are hitting us, and this looks like our day spiritually. And God, let me use a different color, God is trying to sneak in there. He's trying to capture our attention. So God is trying to put his voice into all this because you've allowed it all into your life. And so God becomes just one tiny voice among many that are vying for your attention, that are capturing your thoughts. And if you divide your mind up between all these different thoughts, between all these different things that are vying for your attention that are interfering, then God maybe gets 1/7 or 1/10 of your attention, depending on how many things you're allowing to corrupt the atmosphere of your life. Does that make sense? Okay? Now, there's basically three main areas we pick up spiritual interferences from, okay? We'll talk about that. But I want to use sound waves right now to give you an illustration of this, okay? Now, this is what I'm going to try to make sense of, okay? I'll just show you. Here's my notes. I'm trying to make sense of them, okay? Those are my notes. I'm trying to make sense of this, okay? Because this is what the Lord was speaking to me, okay? But it really is exciting, okay? It really is exciting when you think about it. So we're going to take a look at this, and I'm going to try to explain it the best I can, the way I've been studying this out, okay? There are two types of interference. There is constructive interference, and there is destructive interference. There is an interference that will enhance you. There is an interference or other interferences that will destroy you or will try to destroy your spirituality. We'll try to make you into a nominal carnal Christian. We'll try to destroy your level that you're at now to bring you down. So there's both constructive and there's destructive. Now, constructive interference simply means that there's two wavelengths that are operating at the same time. Wave interference, let me give you the definition. It's two or more sound waves from different sources that present themselves at the same time. Okay, so there's two different sounds coming together at the same time. So if two people are talking, those two different sources are both creating a sound wave. Okay, so, and they have to be talking at the same time, not one and then the other, but two people talking at the same time. So a constructive interference is when you have one source that's giving you a sound wave, but you have a second source that is paralleling it and coming in together with you, and so they go like this. You have two wavelengths, or you have two sound waves that are connected, that are going in the same path, that they have the same sound wave. That is constructive because they're not conflicting with each other. They're not opposing each other. They're not fighting each other. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But this is so cool. because this is coming into a unison, or what we call harmony, right? This is harmony. They're together, they're blended, okay? They're in, let's call this your soul, and let's call this the Holy Spirit. So when you, in your mind, will, and emotions, are surrendered to the Holy Spirit, when you've brought yourself under subjection to the Holy Spirit and His work in your life, you begin to move in tandem with the Holy Spirit. Now you're making a harmony with the Holy Spirit. You're moving in the same direction. How many of you want this to be your life? Not the one I just erased, right? You want this to be your life. You want this to be, you are in tune with the Holy Spirit. That's why we just read the scripture, do not quench the Spirit. How do you quench the Spirit? Disobedience. You begin to add other wavelengths. You begin to add other sound waves that will compete for the sound wave, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit. So we need to operate in this same pattern with the Holy Spirit to move. Now, here's the powerful thing about it. Let me just put this line in here, and this will be the zero line, okay? That's the zero line, okay? Wavelengths will go up and down, so it creates a positive and negative. Basically, we're just going to call it a positive and negative. Here's the thing, the cool thing about this. When you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, your power, your sound is amplified. Because what happens is this. Let's say this here is a level of one, this here being a negative one. When you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, it's not that the two of you are coming up to a phase one or to one together. What happens in sound is when you have two sound waves connected together and moving in harmony, it doubles the sound. So now, because you're in tune with the Holy Spirit and you're moving in the same pathway, the Holy Spirit and you are actually doing this. You're coming up to a level two. To a level two. To a level two. You're actually increasing in your volume, in your strength, because you are moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to influence you, which doubles the amplification. How many of you want the Holy Spirit to amplify your prayers? You want the Holy Spirit to amplify your acts of service. You want the Holy Spirit to amplify whatever He is doing, whatever He wants you to do in life, whatever He commands you to do. If you do it with the aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit, you're actually increasing in the amplification of your life. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Your prayers. Think about your prayers. That's why we're to pray, His will be done. That's why we're to pray in alignment with heaven. We're to pray in accordance with heaven. We're to pray in cooperation with heaven, in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, what He puts on our heart and what He has us to pray. Because when we do, we begin to work in tandem. We begin to work together, and the force of our prayers increase. One can chase a thousand. Two can chase how many? 10,000. There's an amplification. And even in our sound, there's an amplification. How many of you know there's a difference in volume? If you have 100 people in a room and 100 people are all talking, all 100 are talking at the same level, how many of you know the volume is still louder? Why is it louder? Because the room is filling up with sound waves. So you and the Holy Spirit can make some noise. You and the Holy Spirit can make some sound, and you can impact heaven. You can actually impact heaven, and you can impact this earth, and you can impact hell with the sound waves that you emit, okay? Now, let me just look at some scriptures real quickly. Go to Matthew 18. I'm going to try to get through all this. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Matthew 18. Folks, let me encourage you to learn to pray out loud. Let me encourage you to pray because you're making sound waves. And I'm not talking just natural. I'm talking spiritual sound waves that are going to reverberate up to heaven, okay? Look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. It says, again, I say to you that if two of you, listen to this, two of you agree on earth. What is it saying? Now let's say these two here are people, okay? This is person one and this is person two. Okay, now we're looking at this, Matthew 18. If two of you agree on earth, what are you doing now? You're in agreement, so you are making a tandem sound wave. You're making an identical sound wave because you're in agreement. It says, concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who's in heaven. When we come into agreement, there's a force and there's a power in prayer, and the Father will do what we ask because we've come into agreement. If any two of you agree, how many of you are agreeable? Are you agreeable? Are you at least agreeable in prayer? You know, we can come into agreement in prayer. There's power in that. Why? Why does it say your Father will do it if you come into agreement? Because the prayers in tandem increase its power. When two people pray over the same thing, it is twice as powerful over one person praying over that same thing. It's the dynamics that God has made. It's the dynamics that God has given us. When we come together in prayer, that's why I love our pastor's prayers Monday through Friday. I love it. We can have anywhere from 10 to 22 people or so there. But I love it because we're praying together in one place. Now, we're not all, it's not like one gets up and prays and another one gets up and prays. If somebody is led by the Lord, they get up and they pray. We come into agreement with them verbally. If not, we're all still seeking God and we're praying. But we have up to 20, 22 people praying, lifting up our voices to heaven. And so what's happening is this red line is crescendoing higher and higher and higher. That's the power of praying together. That's what Jesus said. If just two of you come together in agreement, what would God do if 25 or 30 or 100 of us come together? Let me tell you what happened. I shared with you before last Sunday that the Luciferians were having a rally. They were having a rally and a whatever they were doing up in the Pacific, up in Anchorage, Alaska. And they had over 20 sites around the world that they had set up to release evil and to call for the one world government. So this was a very spiritual thing, okay? They were trying to keep it secret, but wind got out, and it got the Christians got wind of it, and I think I shared it with you that the article said that they didn't want it to come out because they didn't want the Christians to know about it because they would pray about it, and they didn't like their prayers because it affects their work. So what happened? I loved it because the little article, I shared it with the pastor's prayer team. But this little article said that their rallies fizzled. Said it came to nothing. But the reason it came to nothing is because there were over 300,000 intercessors, prayer people, that logged in and read this and began to pray. And there were more than 300,000 because when I shared it with a prayer group, they were praying, but they didn't all log in to read this assignment. So there were many more than 300,000 people that began to pray in harmony, in unison. The spiritual sound waves were rising. They were rising up to heaven, and they forced this Luciferian project to become a dud, to fizzle. That ought to excite you about prayer. That ought to excite you that you get together with other people. That's why we say, come to the prayer meeting. Come to the prayer meeting and seek God and let's see, let's hear what he has to say. But let's come into agreement so that we can impact heavenly places and we can invite God like we've been teaching about to come into the atmosphere to change everything below it. That's exciting, folks. Jesus said, if just two of you pray, it'll be good, right? Go to John 15:7. John 15 and verse 7 says this, if you abide in me, okay, there's the coming together, okay? You have to abide with him. And if his words abide in you, okay? So now you have his word in you. His word abiding in you is Jesus abiding in you because Jesus is the word. So when you and Jesus are connected like this by his word, he says, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This is called constructive interference. It's constructive because it's building and it's doing good. Does that make sense? That's constructive, okay? Go with me real quickly to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. You know this story, but I want you to see it in light of this teaching, okay? We know that the first city they went to was to Jericho, right? They were going to come into the land. They crossed over the Jordan, and now they're in the land. But I want you to see something here in Joshua chapter 6. These are the instructions that God is giving to Joshua. Now look at verse 5. Joshua 6, verse 5. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, it says this, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat. What did he say? You're going to create a sound. For 6 days, you're going to walk around, but you're not going to say a word. You're just going to walk around the city for 6 days. You're getting ready. On the seventh day, you're going to march around seven, but what you're going to do then is you're going to wait, and when the trumpet blasts, there is the sound wave. It says, then you shall shout with a great shout. So now you have the trumpets blaring. You have thousands of the Israelites shouting with a great shout, and they're all in alignment. They're all in accord with one another. They're all doing the same thing. So the crescendo is rising and rising, and it was so much that the walls came tumbling down. But you have to make a noise. You have to create a sound wave, and that's what God was saying. Shout with a shout. Let the trumpets blast and shout with a great shout. And that's exactly what they did, didn't they? They shouted with a great shout, the trumpets blast, and the walls came down. Now, let me show you one more thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles, this is really good. When you look at it in the light of this, you see how sound waves are important, spiritual sound waves. In that sense, are really important when you look at it. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the ark is brought into the temple. The temple has been built. Now they brought the ark into the temple, okay? Now look at 2 Chronicles 5:13. Indeed, it came to pass, look at this, when the trumpets and singers were as one. Again, trumpets and singers were as one, making the same sound, okay? When they were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Look at this, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. What brought it in? The sound. It was the invitation, God, come in. When you hear the trumpet, when you hear the praise, when you hear the thanksgiving, when you hear the timbrels, when you hear the instruments, five different elements were giving praise, or five different ways of creating sound were brought together as one. The sound reached heaven, and the glory of the Lord came and filled the temple to where they couldn't even stand in that presence. Sound is important. It really is, folks. It's an important thing. Now, let me go on to the next thing here. That's constructive, okay? How many of you like the constructive? How many of you want to have constructive praise? Constructive prayer, okay? How many of you want to have constructive fellowship? When we get together, we ought to emit sounds that are encouraging, edifying, blessing one another, okay? But now there's another one. There's constructive. Now I want to show you the destructive, okay? Destructive is when you have two or more sounds from different sources, but they don't follow the same pattern. So you have, let me use the blue. You have one source that's creating a pattern, but then you have another source that is off pattern, okay? It's off pattern. And it doesn't give you the same sound. They begin to compete with one another because they're not hitting in the same place. They're rising and they're going, but they're not level. They're not compete, or the waves are not crescendoing at the same place at the same time. And so this is called destructive, okay? Each one of those peaks is called a phase, okay? Here's the deal with this, and I think it's really interesting. When you have constructive and you have waves that are in unison, you have waves that are going together, okay? I told you it gave it a double intensity, didn't it? So there's an intensity here. But when you have this pattern, when you have the destructive, what you have is lower intensity because it does not rise any higher. So when you have destructive interference or destructive sound coming into your life, and it's not blending in, it's not matching up with God and the Holy Spirit and His Word, but it's something that is competing from a different source, it is called destructive interference, and it does not give you any enhancement to the heavens. It keeps you grounded. It keeps you down to earth, and not in a good way. How many of you ever felt like your prayers just never got off the ground? Could there have been something interfering in a destructive way with your prayer life? There was something that just wasn't right. Maybe you had an offense that you still hadn't gotten rid of, you hadn't cleansed your life from. Maybe there was a sin in your life that you just really haven't confessed to the Lord, you haven't given it over to Him. Maybe you're angry with somebody and you haven't dealt with it. Excuse me, whatever it is, but there's something in you that is just not right, and it's not matching up with what God wants you to do. You come to church and the word just dry to you. You come to church and you're not receiving anything. Church becomes dry, it becomes dull. Why? Because you're not on this wavelength, you're on this wavelength. You're now in a destructive interference pattern. That's why we're to have our lives cleansed, right? The washing of the water with the word. We're to be washed, cleansed, purified. We're to get rid of filthy habits. We're to get rid of any sin that's in our life, any unconfessed sin, anything that hinders us from truly worshiping God will become a destructive interference in our lives. This creates havoc in normal sound because the patterns aren't blending together. Okay, they're not coming together. So there's constructive on the bottom, and this is destructive where they're breaking apart. Okay, when we're not in unison with the Spirit of God, when we're out of sorts with God, we begin to have destructive habits build up inside of us. Okay, Psalm 103:1 says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Right. So when our soul, our mind, will, and emotions are tuned in, when they're submitted to the Holy Spirit of God, when they are brought into alignment and brought under subjection, when we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, we can then begin to line up with the Holy Spirit and create this constructive interference in our lives, okay? So you have this, okay, spiritual harmony that's taking place. You have the Holy Spirit, you have us, okay? And then the results, like I said, go to a higher plane, okay? Prayers of constructive interference are what we need. We need prayers that are constructive, prayers that are in tune with the Holy Spirit, that are in tune with the Word of God. You don't pray something that's not in alignment with the Word of God. Don't go to God and say, "God, I know your Word says this, but can I have that instead?" Because He's only going to do what His Word says. And when you're praying outside of the Word of God, at alignment with the Word of God, you're praying destructive things that are not going to happen. So we've got to have constructive interference when we're talking about our prayers, whatever it is we're talking about. They need to be constructive. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you ever felt confused? Confusion ever set in? What happens with confusion? Again, you have different sources of sound. You have different inputs, okay? Go to Romans chapter 7. Here's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I think Paul wrote it for a very specific reason, and I love it. And he really gives us a, for us, even today, this is a really good passage of Scripture. Here's confusion, okay? We know the law can't save from sin, but look at what Paul is saying here in chapter 7. In verse 14, he says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. There's the conflict. And it goes on to say, for what I am doing, I do not understand. How many of you have ever done something you don't understand why you did it? Okay? For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So now there's this corrupt nature that's involved. The flesh. Okay, let's call it the flesh. What brings in confusion? Your flesh. Your flesh is competing for attention. It's competing for authority in your life. Okay? For I know that in me, as in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not know. And he goes, it gets even crazier. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. For now, he says, now if I do what I will not to do, he says, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Again, your corrupt nature. I find a law then. Evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. So what happens in confusion? Here's your soul. Here's your spirit. The Holy Spirit is moving in you, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions are trying to move in that direction, but now your flesh wants to come in. And your flesh wants to bring in a different wavelength. Now you have to decide, are you going to yield to the Spirit or are you going to yield to your flesh? Who are you going to yield to? The confusion comes in with your deciding. With what are you going to decide? Until you've decided, you're in confusion. You're in a state of confusion. Because the Holy Spirit wants to continue moving with you, but there's another entity that's coming in that is contrary. It's called your flesh. You want to do good, but you can't, or you won't. Because your flesh loves to be satisfied. Okay? Your mind tells you, yield it to the Holy Spirit. You get up in the morning, you need to eat oatmeal with some strawberries. But your flesh says, I want a stack of pancakes, and I want 3 scrambled eggs, and I want a stack of bacon, and I want. And so confusion sets in over what am I going to have for breakfast? I know what I should have, but I also know what I want. The same thing happens in our spirit life. We know what we should do, but we also know what the flesh wants. And we have to make a decision, and so we come into a state of confusion, okay? The flesh, and even the devil. We can even sometimes bring in the devil because he's opposed to our spirituality as well, right? So on top of everything else, you add confusion to it. Now you have the devil that's coming in, and you have the devil, you have the flesh, there's you, there's the Holy Spirit. And you're having to battle this. Now we're looking like we did at the beginning, right? We're starting to see all the spiritual interference that's going on. The only ones that are in tandem are these right here, these peaks that are in tandem, that are in harmony with each other. But all of these others are competing for your attention. They're competing for the authority in your life to yield to it. Whether it's the devil and his temptations, whether it's your flesh and your fleshly desires. Is this making sense? Is it helping you to see some? It's helped me to see, you know, in just an illustration. When he gave me interference, I thought, wow. Okay, and I had no clue until I started looking at this. The constructive interference. That's right. You want to hear the blast. What was it? Yesterday in prayer, out in Solomon, we were praying. Somebody's phone went off and it was a horn. I had to keep myself from laughing out loud because the first thought that came to my mind, and I shared with the team afterwards, I said, that wasn't the horn, that wasn't the trumpet. I mean, it just made me laugh because I thought that first thought that came to my mind, that wasn't a trumpet. So we're still here. But we need to hear. We need to hear. You see, these are the things that are happening to us, folks. We need to recognize that there is destructive interference that comes into our lives. We have to recognize it. We have to see it for what it is. We have to understand what it is. Now there's one other thing here, one other that I want to show you. How many of you ever, I asked you this earlier, but how many of you ever felt like you were just dead in the water? No life. You know, you just felt, you didn't feel any spirituality. You didn't feel like you were a sinner, you know. You didn't go out and do anything bad. It's just you felt like, man, I'm missing something. Here's what happens. Here's what happens with sound waves. You have a sound wave. Let's call this the zero line again. This is the zero line, okay? What happens is another sound comes in that does exactly the opposite. The highs and lows are exactly the opposite, okay? So what's happened here in this sound wave is this. This cancels this, brings it down to here. This cancels this, brings it down to here. On and on and on. It brings you down to zero. And in the sound industry, this is called a dead spot. It's a dead spot. When you give something in your life equal authority or equal attention as you give the Spirit, as you give them equal attention, they cancel out each other and you begin to have a dead spot in your life. Why don't I feel what I should be feeling? Because something is robbing you of that feeling, robbing you of that spiritual energy or insight, because it's doing the exact opposite of what the Spirit wants to do. Again, I say they cancel each other out. Let me show you another illustration of how the enemy brings you down. I'm going to use boxes because when I saw this, it made a lot of sense. So here's your line, okay? Now let's say this is you. I'm going to make you a box, okay? You're all boxes. This is your spirituality. Here's your level one, okay? So you're above zero. You're feeling it, you know, you're growing, whatever. The enemy wants to throw a different wavelength into you, so we're going to approach it in a different way. We're going to approach it like this. That's his sign. Okay? Nope, I got it wrong. I'm going to do it this way. Like that. Okay? How many of you know the enemy likes to sneak in? He doesn't always come in right at the same time or just full blown, okay? So as you're moving this way, he's moving this way. What happens is when you get to here, he's right here, okay? At this point, let me bring it up here. At this point, you're still at level one. Now he's coming underneath you to rob you. As this is another way of understanding sound waves. As you move over, the more you move over, as far down as this, you lose in height. Because now he's pulling you down. The sound wave is pulling you down. So as the negative sound wave increases, you continue to decrease. Until if this is the same height as here, now you've come back down to zero. So what the enemy does is he comes underneath you to reduce your energy to reduce your sound. Your sound here is you're praising God, you're worshiping Him, you're making a sound, you're making a joyful noise. So He comes underneath you to undercut you, but He does it slightly like this. So what happens is when you move above Him, now instead of being like this, you're drawing down, you're paralleling this line here. You're paralleling that line. That is a diminished sound. It's a diminished sound. As you move over, He cuts you down. He brings you down. Does that make sense? A little different way of looking at it, but it made sense to me of how the enemy comes in and just begins to rob us a little at a time. One compromise here, then another compromise, and then another, and then another, and before you know it, your life is full of compromise, but your spiritual life has also diminished. It's also diminished. I'm running out of time here. Okay. Did you get the dead spot? Okay. Get the dead spot. Let me tell you. Get to know the dead spot because that's important, okay? Now, let me just finish up with some real quick scriptures. But before I do, let me read this. Talking about sound, okay? Talking about us producing a sound and the need to know how to pray, the need to pray aloud. Make your voice heard when you pray. I think I told you this story one time, but I always remember or think about it when I'm talking about sound. It's before we moved to Ohio. We were living on Latigo Street, and I was by myself. Shell was gone, and everybody was gone. Josh was at school, and everybody was gone. I started praying. And I got into prayer, and I really got into prayer. And boy, did I get into prayer. And I was shouting. I mean, I was shouting. I was just making a noise. I was shouting. I heard the door open, and I stopped and looked over, and Josh came in the room. He said, "Dad, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm just praying." He said, "Okay." But it scared him. Because it was voluminous, okay? Don't be afraid to let your sound be heard. Because it's not that we need to hear it, it's that heaven needs to hear it. Heaven wants to hear it. The heavenlies don't want to hear it. This lady wrote this. This is a Sid Roth. It came from Sid Roth, but it's not Sid Roth. Christy Johnston wrote this. She's an intercessor, a teacher of prophetic voice. And a justice carrier. She says, regardless of your season, the Father longs to use you right now. But I just want to read you the first paragraph. It says this, your voice, first two words, your voice. Your voice, your sound, the sound of your voice carries weight in the heavenly realm. Have you ever thought about that? That your voice, the sound of your voice carries weight in the heavenly realm. And the enemy knows it. Why does the enemy not want you to pray aloud? Why does he want you to keep quiet? Because he doesn't want the sound wave hitting his realm. He doesn't want the reverberations going through his realm. Oh, they're praying again. They're praying again. They're praying again. He wants you to be silent. It says the enemy knows it. He knows, listen to this, he knows your prayers debilitate him. They debilitate him. So he works hard to debilitate your prayers. He works hard to debilitate your prayers. He doesn't want you to pray. He wants you to get discouraged. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to say, well, what are they going to hear? What are they going to think about you when they start hearing you pray? When you pray and you don't think you pray as good as you should pray and you're not as eloquent as that other person who prayed, well, what is it going to be to you? Aren't you going to be embarrassed? Aren't you going to feel stupid? Aren't you going to feel dumb? Aren't you going to walk out of here embarrassed? And so what happens? Well, I'm not going to pray. And so we don't pray. Pray. Worship. When we sing these songs, it's not to entertain. It's to let the sound reach heaven. It's to let our sound reach up into heavenly places and shake the enemy's camp and reach up to heaven and glorify God in the process. That's what our sound is supposed to do. I love it. Well, we're out of time, so let me just close. One last illustration. What happened on the day of Pentecost? You got it. It says, suddenly there was a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. Not only do we make sounds that reach heaven, heaven makes sounds that reach earth. Heaven, you know, when the Bible says that when heaven comes down, you know, mighty things happen. Go to Isaiah 64, one of my favorite passages, but let's just look at it real quickly. This really, to me, is an indication of the sound of God coming down. Isaiah 64 says, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that you would come down. Now, someone says that the mountains might shake at your presence. What happens? What causes mountains to shake? There is a sound from heaven that comes down. Just like our sound goes up, his sound comes down, and it shakes things up. On Mount Sinai, there was lightning, and there was thunder, and there was a cloud, and the mountain was quaking. Why? Because God came down, and there was a sound, and the people heard it, and it scared them to death. It was a sound from heaven. So when we pray and we worship and we make a sound that goes up to heaven, God responds and the sound comes back to earth and shakes the earth. And things happen. Things happen. Now I'm going to stop there. What do you think? Sound waves. Sound waves. That's why my notes are all scribbled. I'm just like, Lord, you got to put this together. I'm praying that he'll give me an extra day next time. Same thing happened from last Sunday. Gave it to me on Friday, and I only had Saturday. So, Lord, you got... But then I know it's him if it works out. But praise God. I hope that you captured some of this and realized the importance of sound spiritually. How important the sounds that we make. Folks, if you're out there cussing... You're out there telling dirty jokes. You're out there doing things with your voice, with the sound of your voice that you ought not to be doing. You are creating destructive interference. Destructive interference. Stop it. Let's make constructive interference. Let's blend in with each other when we're here. Let's blend in with each other when we pray. But let's make some constructive noise. Amen. All right. Any thoughts? Any comments? All right. Well, let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for showing us these things. They're just ways for us to understand what's happening in the spirit realm. But we can use what you have created. We can use what you have established. And we can come to understandings of things that maybe make it a little clearer. For me, Father, it's become even more clear how important the sound of my voice is. How important it is to me, how important it is to my wife, how important it is to my children, my grandchildren, to my household, how important it is here in the house to others, Father. When I speak, when I say something, I know my sound, Father, must carry an anointing of the Holy Spirit, God. I must be in tune and in alignment, in harmony with your Holy Spirit. But Father, we all need this. We all need this. Help us, Father. To get rid of the static noise. Help us to get rid of the destructive interferences, the flesh. Help us to be aware of the enemy's devices, that we might put an end to them and stop them before they come in. So that, Father, we might be in harmony with you, with heaven, with the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you. Help us, God, to learn from this, to grow from it. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. Have a good night.